Our closest relationships in life have the ability to be our greatest source of joy and happiness, or our primary source of frustration and pain. Frequently, some of those relationships will even bring us a healthy dose of both. Join us in September for the message series, It's Complicated, as we examine what the Bible has to say about the primary relationships in our lives.
How you doing today? Good. Last night I thought it'd be helpful, and I moved that TV over by myself, and I broke it right off the stand. It like sat the entire service, like just crookedly dangling. So you got to leave some things to the pros. We're in a series called "It's Complicated." We've been spending the month on this. This is our last week of this message series, and all month we've been looking at the complicated relationships of our lives. We've talked about the complications of marriage, about the complications of being parents, the complication of being single, especially being single in the church. And today we're going to talk about one of the most complicated relationships that a lot of people have, and it's the relationships that we have with our parents. We're going to talk about being children. Now, a lot of us in here are not children anymore, right? We're not like, well, that's the stage of life I'm in, but a lot of people are children still to their parents and or were children at one part. So part of the reason why this is so complicated, why this is such a tricky subject, is because as soon as I bring it up, there's a variety of emotions across the room, right? There's people in such different situations because there are people that have awesome parents, and you know it. They're still alive. You have a great relationship with them. You count them among your closest friends, and you are truly blessed, and that is true of some of the people here. There's a good amount of people here today whose parents are no longer alive. Maybe you had a good relationship with one or both of them. Maybe you didn't, but either way, the earthly part of that relationship has come to an end, and it's a painful thing to talk about. For a lot of people, that is a wound that will never fully heal. And then there are people in this room that even just by mentioning the subject, it causes you to go to a bad place mentally. Maybe you were neglected by your parents, or you were physically, emotionally, or sexually abused by one or both of your parents. And the topic of parents is the most difficult and painful issue that you could possibly think about for church this morning. I'd imagine that we have a few people that just stayed home this weekend because they couldn't face the idea of going down this road. And so I understand that this is a difficult and painful topic. And I could never properly anticipate all of the feelings and emotions that people will encounter during a message like this. But I promise you, I will do my best to be as sensitive as I can. And my encouragement to you would be to ask God to make you as sensitive as possible to what He wants to do in your life during this time in the Word. So let's get the main point out on the table. I want you to know what direction I'm going and where I'm intending to head in this. And this is it. Our parents with our relationships with our parents, it can be complicated. But the Bible makes some clear statements about how we are called to care for that relationship. They are regularly complicated. I understand that. I would say more often than not, those relationships are somewhat complicated. But we're going to attempt to examine some biblical truths that apply to all of us, no matter how complicated that relationship is. Now, here's a quote. It's from a book I read a while ago, and it came back to me. It kind of sums up to me why our relationships with our parents can get messy and they can get a little dicey. This is from Mitch Albom's book, The Five People You Meet in Heaven. I'm sure a bunch of you have read it. It's pretty old at this point. He says, all parents damage their children. It's not that encouraging. It's going to get better. It cannot be helped. Youth, like pristine glass, absorbs the prints of its handlers. Some parents smudge, others crack. A few shatter childhoods completely into jagged little pieces beyond repair. No matter how good your parents are or were, there were those moments of damage. Now, for some of you, it is. It's just a smudge. There's things that your parents said that hurt you, wounds that were opened, insecurities that were unintentionally created. Even with the best of parents, sometimes those things are occasionally unavoidable. For other people, you relate more with the damage being a crack. There are some clear signs of hurt and difficulty. There are stories and situations that are hard for you to talk about. There are seasons of your life that you would rather not relive. There are things that you have committed firmly that you will not do with your own children. And then sadly, for far too many, you feel like those shattered, jagged little pieces, wondering if healing and wholeness can ever be a part of your story. Those people who were abused and abandoned and neglected. And you've probably already spent a significant time working with a qualified counselor. But this will probably be part of you for most of your life. Pain and trauma are just this unfortunate regular part of your story. Now, the only two words I disagree with here are the last two, beyond repair. That's the only part that I would really push back on, because I believe that God can repair any of us beyond what we would imagine is possible. And I want to tell you, in each and every situation, for all of us across this room, that God knows your story. God has been with you in the darkest moments of that story. And his greatest desire is to help repair that damage through a relationship with him. Psalm 68:5, it tells us that God is a father to the fatherless. And that's true. It's a great reminder. But we don't want to limit him to that, because he is so much more than that. He is a mother to those without a mother. He is a nurturer to those who are neglected. He is an encourager to those who are not affirmed. He is a supporter to those who are abandoned. He's a protector to those who are abused. And he is what we need, as we just sang frequently, before we even know that we need it. And maybe today, or maybe at some other point in this series, you've just been so aware of this relational hole in your life, of this lack that you have, of this pain that comes from your relationships. I want to give you a quote a very wise man said to me last week. Hold on, wait, will you read it? Okay. He is really wise. It's all accurate. But Pastor Vern said this to me, and it was just me and him, and I couldn't just take the thought myself. The things that we lack in life are directional signals to our need for God, right? The things that we are lacking, each and every one of us has things that we are lacking. Each and every one of us have these holes in our relationships, these areas of pain, and consequently holes in our hearts. And for every single one of us, those things, when properly understood and handled in a healthy way, will point us directly to our need for God. Some people try desperately to fill that with other things. They spend their entire life trying to earn the approval of a dad who will never give it to them, frequently long after he is no longer alive to see it anymore. They will medicate the pain with drugs and alcohol or sex. They'll try and fill that void with relationship after failed relationship. And some people live their entire lives never figuring this truth out, that those things are all designed to point us back to God. If there is one overarching theme in this series that I would love for you to take away, that's it right there. Now let's get to how the Bible instructs us to approach our relationship with our parents. Most of us here, we know the basics. This issue is addressed really early on in the biblical narrative. It's in the Ten Commandments, where it tells us, honor your parents, right? It says very clearly early on, we are commanded to honor our parents. Look at Exodus 20, verse 12, where it says, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Now, right away, I'm starting to lose some of you because of that, but stick with me. Let me explain this a little more. We are commanded to honor our parents. Now, does that mean we are required to walk around and say, hey, I had the best parents ever, right? I don't think that's what it's saying. Does this say that we can't talk about or address the damage that has been caused to us in some cases by our parents? Absolutely not. I am not asking, nor do I think the Bible is commanding anyone to say anything that is not true in regards to your parents. I think when we initially hear this, we think it's saying, respect your parents. Pastor Craig Rochelle, he kind of parsed this out a little bit, where he said, respect is earned, but honor is given. This is a really important distinction that we're going to make, because respect is about who they are as parents. Are they doing their best, or did they do their best? Do they love you well? Have they done their very best to make sure the damage to you was only smudges and not cracked or shattered? Whether or not you respect your parents is a reflection of their character. Whether or not you honor your parents is a reflection of yours. That's the difference. That's where that splits up. So we are clearly called to honor our parents, to speak well of them when possible. And when it is not possible to speak well of them, to speak of them as little as possible. Don't run around looking for every opportunity to beat your parents up and knock them down. Honor them, even if the best way you can honor them is just to say nothing. Now, I've thought a lot about this line between honor and respect. I think this is, it's a really important thing because it's not just about our parental relationships. This actually flows into our relationship with authority in general. Now, I regularly try to honor Pastor Vern. I honor him because of his position, because he is the senior pastor here. He is the primary leader of this church. He does not demand that honor of me or anybody else, but it is what is due to him because of his place that God has called him and placed him. And to not honor him for those reasons, it would be something that would reflect negatively on my character, not on his. Now, fortunately for me, and not all of you are in this position, if you have a boss, if you have authority, I'm in the position where my boss is also a person highly deserving of respect. And so in addition to honoring him, I respect the type of leader that he is, the type of pastor, the type of boss and friend that he is to me. And respecting him, it makes it really easy and natural to honor him, right? It flows naturally out of that. But here's the thing. If I didn't respect him, you wouldn't know. Because I would still honor him. Does that make sense? That separation, honor, and respect. Whether or not you respect someone as a reflection of their character, but whether or not you honor them as a reflection of yours. And while we're talking about Pastor Vern, and we're talking about honoring your parents, this is a good place to applaud and encourage so many of you. Because Paul, in his first letter to Timothy, he encourages Christ followers to do this. Give proper recognition to the widows who are really in need. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents. For this is pleasing to God. Pastor Vern and Mark Logan are two up-close examples that I get to see on a daily basis who are living this scripture out in their lives. And I know that they're not alone in this room. I know we have so many people who are caring for your parents and your family, who are repaying your parents for the years that they cared for you. In this scripture, it reminds us that what you are doing is pleasing to God. He looks at you. He sees your sacrifice. He sees the freedom and the flexibility that you have given up. And he says, I see you honoring your parents in that way, and I am pleased that you are doing that. And you don't get held up and thanked enough for a very difficult job. But today, as we talk about honoring parents, I would be remiss to not honor those of you that are doing that. Okay, so if we're going to separate honor and respect, and we are, then here's the next biblical encouragement for us. And that is, whenever it is possible, respect your parents. Whenever it is possible. Now, I understand not everyone is going to be able to do this. There are those situations of abuse and neglect and abandonment that I've already addressed that are going to preclude this from being a reality. Some people have a parent or parents who are just toxic people, and you're not going to be able to do this. I understand this. I acknowledge this. I validate this. But for everyone else, the call is to respect our parents. We need to give them what is due to them. Paul, in the book of Romans, he says we are to give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Now, my guess would be that for the majority of the people in this room, our parents did their best to parent us well. Were our parents damaged people themselves? Absolutely. Did they do their best to parent us to the best of their abilities within the strengths and the weaknesses that they had? Yes. And I think there could be some real ground to be gained for a lot of people here if we could just admit this out loud or to ourselves. They weren't perfect, but they tried and they did the best that they could within their own brokenness. For some of you, being able to admit that, choosing to see that today would be one of the most freeing and liberating things you could possibly do. Because for everyone here who has been damaged in some way by our parents, we need to hear this next point. And that's that whenever it is necessary, forgive your parents. whenever this is needed. Because sometimes the Bible can be hard to understand. A lot of times it is. Some things just aren't clear. But one thing that is clear over and over again in the pages of Scripture is that forgiven people forgive people. And Jesus couldn't have made it any more clear in verses I've used so many times, because I love how succinct and clear this is in Matthew 6 after the Lord's Prayer, where he tells us, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." And he didn't draw a line around it for families. Right? He didn't say, yeah, forgive the guy that cuts you off on the highway, but don't forgive your mom or your dad because that pain is more real. He didn't say, forgive people that hurt you if they're not the closest people to you or the people that hurt you the most. Because a lot of us are really good at forgiving people that are not that close to us. Sometimes because of the level of hurt and pain inflicted, we've just come to grips with the idea that we will never forgive our parents. We will never let them off the hook. We will never let ourselves off the hook. Forgive your parents. Maybe that means a phone call. Maybe that means a letter. Maybe you're not on the spot to do that yet, or maybe it's too late to do that, but you know that you have to forgive them in your own heart before you're ever going to be able to properly move on. Forgive them. And then after you've forgiven them, commit to God and to yourself and to someone that you trust that you will not be the one to continue the trend. That the thing that caused so much pain for you, you will not pass on. The wounds that your parents passed won't be passed on to the generations after you. Because we love to point our finger at the people who damaged us, but far too often we turn around and do the exact same thing to our own children. I had a friend, and I heard him say it so many times, even in the midst of what was a seemingly happy marriage at that point, but said, "The men in my family always leave." And I heard that so many times because his dad left, and his uncle left, and his mother of the men had left, his grandfather left, and it was like, well, the men in my family always leave. And it wasn't true for him until he did it, until he left. And I was so mad at him for perpetuating that, not just for himself and for his own marriage, but because he had three sons that then also got to say, "The men in my family always leave." And I said, "You could have been the one that stopped it." Some people grew up in families with a parent or with parents who couldn't say, "I love you." I would encourage you, there's a real good solution to that. Tell your children, "I love you." You can say it, even if it's hard, even if it wasn't said to you as a child, even if it's a difficult or awkward thing, you can say, "I love you." Your mouth will work that way. It might be challenging. It's not the mouth, it's the mind that's stopping you from doing that. But it ends with you. You know the hurt that that caused by not being told that as a kid, by not hearing, "I love you and I'm proud of you and you're good at this." You know. So don't deprive your children and the people after you from that. You are the last person in your family line that can claim, "Well, that's exactly how my parents treated me." Be the one to change the trend. And next, I would encourage anyone who still has living parents to pray for your parents. Pray for your parents. Teens, kids, especially, listen to me, please, pray for your parents. And if you aren't still a kid living with your parents, my encouragement to you would be the same. Pray for your parents. 1 John 5:14 gives us this encouragement about prayer, that this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Parenting is hard. On behalf of people that are currently trying to parent, we are trying. We really are. I would encourage you, if your parents are married, to pray for their marriage. Right? Pray that it would be strong and enduring. Pray that your parents would have wisdom. Pray for your parents to have good health. Don't just wait until your parents are really old and their health really goes downhill to start praying for their health. Pray that they would be healthy and strong. Pray that their lives would be filled with joy. Regularly pray for your parents. Pray not that God would change them, but sometimes pray that God would change your heart towards them. And then finally, the final scriptural instruction that we have on being children towards our parents is to bring your parents joy. Look at this couple of verses out of Proverbs 23. It says, "The father of a righteous child has great joy. A man who fathers a wise son rejoices in him. May your father and mother rejoice. May she who gave you birth be joyful." There's this great picture of children bringing their parents joy. And for, I would say most of us, I don't know everybody's situation, but at a certain point, you brought your parents great joy. I remember the time when Amy first was pregnant, right? When she first brought this stick downstairs that was going to change our lives, and just like the overwhelming feeling of being, one, completely terrified, but two, full of joy. Right? They're still, to this day, I have not experienced something that is more overwhelming. It just felt like getting knocked over by an ocean wave than being in the delivery room for my girl's birth. Because I'm not good under the, I don't, like, even if we watch a medical show, I turn away when they're like cutting something, right? I'm like, I'm good. So I'm not real strong in those situations. My only job was to announce if it was a boy or a girl. Literally the simplest job they could have come up with. Don't pass out, say if it's a boy or a girl. And I was so bad at it because I was so overwhelmed in the moment that I just said nothing, right? I just like stared and was like, oh my gosh, there's a baby. Like I knew it. I saw the ultrasounds, but now the baby's here. And I actually, on one of them, I waited so long that Amy thought something was wrong. And I said, there's nothing wrong. It's a girl again, right? And I remember the joy that my girls brought me before, sometimes before they were even out in the world. Incredible joy. Live a life that brings, or would bring, if they're not still with you, your parents' joy. Anyone with kids knows that there is nothing you want more than to see your children grow up to be happy, healthy, contributing adults. I pray regularly that my girls will always know and love Jesus. I pray that they will rely on him, that they will have a real and vibrant relationship with him, and they will let his will for their lives define their lives. And if that happens, that will bring me the greatest possible joy that a parent can have. I pray that at an appropriate age, I think 25 right now, my girls will find a man who loves Jesus and loves them as much as I love their mom. Unless God calls them to be single, which is a wonderful way to live the Christian life, listen to last week's message. I said 25. I told my girls 25 was when they could start dating. And then my oldest realized that Amy was 22 when we got married. So we had to do some wrestling with that. I told her it's a different time. But if that happens, right, if God fulfills them in that way with a relationship, or they're single and he says, hey, this is who I want you to be, it will bring me great joy as a father. I pray that my girls will grow up to be close friends with each other, that once they don't live together anymore, they will want to be together, probably more so, right? It has a tendency to do that. We bring our parents joy by how we live our lives, by using opportunities that they might not have had but worked so hard to give us, by having the kind of rich relationships that any healthy person would want their loved ones to have, by realizing that in so many cases, they did the best they could, and now they are rooting for us to do the best that we can. Now, I started with a pretty dark but honest quote from Five People You Meet in Heaven. I'm going to come back to a more hopeful quote from the same book, where it says, parents rarely let go of their children, so children let go of them. They move on, they move away. The moments that used to define them, a mother's approval, a father's nod, are covered by moments of their own accomplishments. It is not until much later, as the skin sags and the heart weakens, that children understand their stories and all of their accomplishments sit atop the stories of their mothers and fathers, stones upon stones beneath the waters of their lives. As we realize that our stories sit on top of theirs, that our legacy is built on the foundation of theirs, we can acknowledge and honor that. Now, for my entire childhood, my dad was a dairy farmer. He is incredibly passionate about cows, which, one, was always weird to me because I don't care about a cow until it's killed and grilled. But two, so I'm glad that there are people that are passionate about them before that to get them to that moment. But two, farming in general is really hard work. Some of you know this. Most of you should. He got up at 4:30 every morning, long before the sun was up. Depending on the regular, on the time of the year, on the seasons, he was regularly not home again until the sun was down. He did more physical labor in any one week of his life than I have done in my entire 39 years to this point. Been very successful at ducking physical labor so far. When the weather was nice, the later sunset gave us an opportunity to play basketball in the driveway after dinner. I can't tell you how many nights we played, and it wasn't until much later when I had my own kids and I would come home tired from a non-physical job did I realize how that was probably in many ways the last thing that he wanted to do at that time. when he was tired and exhausted. But there we were night after night. And he did that, he worked that way to give me and to give my siblings opportunities that he never had. And so as I've gotten older, one of the things that I've had to realize is that I didn't get to where I am on my own. Because there's something inside of all of us that wants to think we're self-made. But the truth is that none of us are. No matter how good or bad your parents are, none of us are self-made. We've had people help us get there. Did I work hard for the opportunities I was given? Did I earn the degrees? Did I pay off the loans? Did I land the jobs? Sure. But none of that comes without the ability to stand on the stones that my parents laid. Now, I don't know all of your situations, all of your stories, all of your parents, but I know that for a lot of you in this room, the same thing is true. Things were not perfect. Things are not perfect. But we are called to honor our parents, to whenever possible respect our parents, to whenever necessary forgive our parents, to pray for our parents, and to bring them joy. May all of us, by the power of God in our lives, live lives that do that. Let's pray. God, once again, I'm just aware of your sufficiency for what we need. Lord, of how a message can go out like that, but God, your Holy Spirit can impact each of us where we are. So Lord, I pray, God, that for every one of us, Lord, for people that have the most complicated possible relationships with our parents to people that have the best possible relationships with our parents, that God, your word would penetrate our hearts, Lord, and it would cause us to consider this relationship. Lord, for people here that need to forgive their parents and let them off the hook, God, give them the strength to do that in this moment, to walk out of this room more free than they walked in because of the power of Christ in their lives. Lord, for the people that need to reach out to their parents, give them the encouragement to do that. God, for the people that just need to say thank you, Lord, will you put that in their hearts and minds to do? That God, we will be people that live out your word, that we would be people that apply these truths to our life to the best that we can. But God, we know we don't have to do it on our own. We can do it through the power of Christ in us. So we thank you, God, for this word, for this truth in our lives, and ask that we would be attentive to what you call us to do with it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.